Welcome back to Nate Timm's Lay of the Land. We're focusing on ag economics tonight with our guest, an economist by profession, John Peck. In that we're focusing in this area, I think it's appropriate that this week's trivia question go in that direction, and just so that everybody can have a heads up about what the question is. The question for this week is, what part of the consumer's food dollar actually goes to the farmer? What part of the consumer's food dollar actually goes to the farmer? So you can contact me after the show at my email, nptim571@gmail.com. Again, that's nptim571@gmail.com, and give me your answer, and I'll report if somebody gets the magic answer next week. Remember, the reward for getting a good answer, and Annette will receive that reward because she got the correct answer tonight, which is a free admission to Wisconsin Grassroots Networks Festival when we can reconvene our actual festival. It's a $25 value, so we're happy to make that available to somebody who can answer that question. So we've got a guest on the line. Let's hear what Ron's got to say. Ron, what's your question?
Well, I have more a couple observations about the political implications of what you're talking about, and I'm curious about John's reaction and see if he can dissuade me from my pessimism. One has to do with the challenge Democratic Party has in attracting rural voters, and it seems to me that the party is not very good on farm and agricultural issues. When the Secretary of Agriculture during the Biden and Obama administration is a former lobbyist for Monsanto, it's hard to take that party seriously as addressing the problems that you've been talking about. Also, from my experience with talking about people in the farm community, both farmers and people in other aspects of the economy, I can find common ground and agreement with them on the types of issues you've been talking about, corporate monopolization and so forth. But the cultural concerns that attract them to the Republican Party, in my conversations, seem to nonetheless trump, and no pun intended, economic self-interest. And so I'll take your response off the air. Thank you.
What do you think, John?
Oh, yeah, those are all good points. And I've actually wrote quite a long article in our last newsletter for Family Farm Defenders about how to bridge the rural-urban divide. I mean, I wrote it right before the election, but you're right about there are definitely challenges. I mean, and how do you find common ground? So, I mean, just to give some examples, I mean, you know, our organization, we have people from all political persuasions in our organization. So we have Republicans, Democrats, we have Greens, we have Libertarians, we have, you know, people who don't have any political party, but they all agree on certain things, like we should not have monopolies. We should have country of origin labeling so consumers have the right to know where their food comes from, which we don't have. We should have there should be local control, say, for instance, over factory farms, which we don't have in Wisconsin now. That was taken away from local communities. Those are the types of things people can agree on. Having better health care system, having rural broadband, I already talked about that. Clean water is a huge issue right now. I mean, there's efforts to sell off Lake Superior to water bottling companies. So I can tell you that people are opposed to that across the political spectrum. We should not be privatizing public goods like water. Those are the types of things when I grew up in a rural area. I don't necessarily agree with all my neighbors about, say, gun control issues or other social issues, but I mean, there's lots of economic issues we do agree on, such as there should be more farmers, not less. You know, we should have the right to know about our food, how it's produced, where it comes from. People should have more say about our agricultural system. We should not let corporations dictate or force feed us what they do. So, I mean, those are all things we can find a lot of common ground with.
Yeah, and I sure agree with your observation, Ron, that we haven't politically, from the Democratic side, focused very effectively on interacting with the rural voter. At least there's sure a great deal of opportunity to improve on that. And just yesterday I was at a strategic planning event where this was one of the major focuses of the event, how to do this better. And there is a whole new variety of thinking emerging on the, in this area. So stay tuned, Democrats and progressives and people who love rural Wisconsin. There are some new developments on the horizon. But it really boils down to whether people are going to step up, just the ordinary citizens, we the people, and support these newer directions to engage in the rural electorate. We still do have the opportunity for rural citizens to engage. You sometimes wonder in recent developments how long that's going to be a viable opportunity, but it's still there now. And so it's time to step up, get engaged, go to your local Democratic Party chair and say, hey, here I am. I maybe can't give you all my time, but I can give you some of my time, and at least let them know that you're out there and you want to try and help be a voice for rural Wisconsin, because there is a strategy now that is moving in that direction. And I can tell you that with great assurance because I'm very involved in that strategy. So, and feel free to reach out to me if you're so inclined. In future programming, we'll get into this in a little more detail. But the economics is definitely related to a political dimension. So everything is political, as any of you seasoned observers know. So in terms of future strategies for engaging the rural citizen, what is your perspective, John?
Well, I mean, we need to, I mean, one thing is that this pandemic has really, I think it's been a real wake-up call for a lot of people, especially about our food system. So I think just, you know, the images of people having to dump milk because their market was lost, at, you know, euthanizing pigs, plowing under vegetables, and meanwhile people are going to the store and being told they can't get, you know, more than 1 pound of bacon per week per family. You know, this type of, I mean, that those supply shocks are only possible, I would argue, due to an over hyper globalized, hyper corporatized food system, where if we have only a couple slaughterhouses in the country and half their workforce is out with COVID, they're being forced to work and getting sick, you know, that would not be happening if we still had a full network of smaller local butcher shops and slaughterhouses like we do in parts of Wisconsin still. And, you know, same thing with, you know, why should we be dependent on fresh fruits and vegetables from globetrotting in from halfway around the world when we can grow them in our own bioregion? So I mean, those are, I think, that awareness, you know, how do we translate that awareness of average people that something's wrong with our food system into political engagement and traction to change things? So like we, you know, we're trying to, you know, Mark Pocan and Cory Booker introduced the ag merger moratorium bill in Congress last session. We hope that that will come back. We have the Relief for America's Small Farmers Act that Senator Gillibrand's introduced. I mean, we have lots of you know, things happening in Congress, and we'll see if they go forward under the Biden administration. But there are bills out there to help small farmers. You know, Farm Aid is happening again this year. So there are opportunities for rural people to be engaged and change the system.
Yeah, maybe we can come back and talk about that in our next and last segment. Remind everybody that there's county fairs going on all over the state at this time, and it's a great opportunity for people to go and enjoy the products of rural agriculture and encourage kids to get involved in rural agriculture. 4-H and FFA are really great institutions to do that. So we're going to go away again for a few minutes. Hang on, and we'll be right back to Nate Timm's Lay of the Land.